The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
When you look at her, you see that she has a beauty that transcends that of whites or blacks. She was between 20 and 30 years old. She was at once like a young bride. She had a very young air. She said, "The message that I give you is not destined uniquely for you. It is rather a message for the whole world. What I say to you, I do not say only to you. I say it to all the people on earth."
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back. If you're just joining me, in the last segment or two, I shared a little bit about the fascinating apparitions of Our Lady in Kibeho, Rwanda, and I had the great privilege of being there for the very last appearance of the Mother of God to Alphonsine Mumuriki, a life-changing experience. I also shared a little bit about the extraordinary life and story of Immaculée Ilibigiza. Her story is absolutely amazing. If you missed any of it, I recommend you go back and you listen to it on our podcast or pick up her book, Left to Tell. If you're not familiar with her, Immaculée was involved in the Rwandan genocide. Her entire family was slaughtered. And she spent 3 months in what was a tiny bathroom of a pastor's house, jammed in there with about seven other women hiding from these murderers. And she chronicles all this in her book, Left to Tell, and how the killers were looking specifically for her. How one of them said, "I've killed 399 cockroaches. Immaculée will make 400. It's a good number to kill." These were the people she knew, people she saw on a daily basis, her neighbors and her friends, and yet they killed her family, and they looked for her and wanted to kill her as well. Fortunately, through prayer, especially praying the rosary, using the rosary given by her father, putting her trust in the mercy of God, and being enveloped in prayer during this time, she barely escaped. She entered that bathroom when she was about, I guess she was 115 pounds when she went in. She left 3 months later weighing 65 pounds. And of course, the fact that she was now without her family, the fact that she had been, that they had been murdered by people that she knew, it tore her up. It ate away at her. And she prayed all the more until she finally came to the point where she realized that she had to forgive her family's killers. I've often shared with you the story of Father Ubald, who God has recently called home, who did the same thing. If they didn't do this, both Ubald and Immaculée would be consumed by hate. But the secret was prayer. Through it, she was able to reach that point where she even told one of the family's killers face-to-face that she forgave him. As I shared with you in the past, Father Ubald, whose family was slaughtered, actually took care of the man's son who took his family's life. It's just an incredible pleasure to be able to say I'm joined today by Immaculée Ilibigiza, New York Times best-selling author of the book Left to Tell. But since then, she's written a lot of other books, especially on Our Lady's apparitions in Kibeho. She has been a great champion of the Beads of the Seven Sorrows. That is a prayer that Our Lady has wanted us to pray. It's an ancient prayer resurrected in Kibeho, and Immaculée has made it part of her mission to spread that devotion. Today, again, we celebrate the 40th anniversary of these apparitions in Kibeho, Rwanda, and Immaculée joins us from that tiny landlocked country known as the Switzerland of the Africas. Hey, Immaculée, thank you so much for your time. It is a delight to have you here with me today.
Oh, thank you so much. I was really happy to be able to join you from so far away from Kibeho. So thank you for having me.
Immaculée, I shared a little bit about the apparitions. I've shared some of your story before you came on. This is the 40th anniversary. You've got to tell me what it's like. I was there in 1989 on November the 28th for the very last apparition of the Blessed Mother, along with noted Mariologist Father René Laurentin. And it was a life-changing experience, set me on a new trajectory. What's it like today? What has happened? And I was there before the genocide. I mean, I never in a million years thought what Our Lady had told these kids was going to come true. In fact, I didn't even, I really downplayed it because it seemed so apocalyptic. Give us some insight into the country, what has happened and where they've come.
Yes. Oh, thank you so much. Yes, today and yesterday, exactly November 28th, yesterday was the 40th anniversary since Our Lady appeared. And it was a great feast, and today was another great feast. I mean, you see people dressed in white and blue all over, There's a lot of dancing, a lot of songs they made for our lady. It's really a joy. But as you said, when our lady came to Rwanda, she predicted a genocide. She didn't say the word genocide, but she said, terrible thing is going to happen to you if you don't come back to God as a country, if you don't come back to practice the commandment of God and respect them. And she showed them people killing each other with machetes. So as you said, me too, when that happened, I was a child, but I still think, remember thinking, well, it's going to happen 100 years. The things of God, you know, the Bible, it must be maybe 200 years later. It was 13 years later that the genocide started. So to see that have happened, I mean, I brought pilgrims. We are like 30 people who came from the U.S. and we're joined by one person from Germany, another one from Nigeria, Canada, you know, from different countries. And to be there, we went to visit a genocide memorial where they can see the bodies of people. Like, this is how connected Our Lady appeared, actually tried to protect us, and we didn't listen. And look what happened. So I feel like in Rwanda, people are awake because they saw what happened to us, because we didn't listen to Our Lady. So you see many military, police, people really who come to bow to Our Lady, yeah?
Yeah. Well, absolutely amazing. Yet this is a nation that has suffered so much. Yet we hear these heroic stories of forgiveness and of mercy. You know, the same thing in the concentration camps. You wonder how good can come from those, but you look at the great saints that rose, and you're such a wonderful, wonderful example of the power of prayer and forgiveness. One of the things that Our Lady has really promoted in Rwanda was the beads of the seven sorrows, and I don't think a whole lot of people know about that. Maybe you can share a little bit of what she said and why this is such a powerful prayer, especially for our time.
Oh, thank you, thank you. That is really one of the most important message of Our Lady of Kibeho. Again, when I think about it today, I say, wow, how timely it was that she taught it in Rwanda, which, by the way, she said, whatever message she's giving here, it does not only concern Rwanda, not even just Africa, but the whole world. So when she gave the message of the seven sorrows to Marie Claire, she told her she wants her to teach it to the whole world. And she told her it always existed, but people have forgotten about this. So she spoke to her about her sorrows, the first, the prophecy of Simeon, the second, again, the suffering of Mary, the flight into Egypt, the third one, she lost Jesus, all about the suffering of Our Lady she had as a mother. And the fourth, when they met on the way to the cross with Jesus, the fifth, when she was under the cross, standing, waiting for him to die, and in pain. And the sixth, when she held his body, the seventh, when they placed him in a tomb. So Our Lady came into the poorest school in the country. So one of the visionaries, the third, Marie Claire, who used to persecute other visionaries, and she told her she wanted to teach the whole world the seven sorrows, rosary, not just the sorrows, but the rosary. I remember Marie Claire used to tell Our Lady, Mother, I don't even have money to take a taxi. How will I be able to teach the whole world? So I'm grateful that you are even sharing it now, because I remember when I was a child, when Our Lady said to Marie Claire, my children, and she would ask her to repeat, my children, please help me. As 11 years old, I'm like, I will help you, which I laughed at myself later. Who am I to help Our Lady? And now when I see how life has turned around, first of all, being a victim of the genocide, and from the message she gave us to see it come true, surviving out of it, and writing about that, and realizing that the most important message to share with the world is really to tell them to listen to Our Lady too. So one of them was the seven sorrows. It's so beautiful. The rosary of the seven sorrows, Our Lady told Marie Claire, when you pray it, think of the sorrows and ask yourself, what it was me? What did this mother felt like? I mean, one time I remember she showed the visionary all the scenes, almost like visiting other people, like a video, how Our Lady was suffering with Jesus. And she took away her capacity to see it was Our Lady. And then she asked her, what do you think? Marie Claire, in front of 50,000 people, cried and screamed. And she would scream of sorrow. And she said, somebody help her. Why are they killing this man who haven't done anything wrong? Somebody help that mother. She can't take it. They seem like a good family. Why are they doing this to her? And sometimes I remember when Our Lady met Jesus on the way to the cross, already said, what do you think about that? What do you think she's feeling, that lady? And Marie Claire fell down. Her teeth were shivering. He's like, this is too much pain for somebody. On the fifth sorrow, when Our Lady was under the cross, she will fall down. She will faint because she said, I can't take the pain of this lady. So what I have found through these seven sorrows, how good it is and how, you know, what a healing gift it is. Because Our Lady said, put yourself in my shoes. What if it was you? So when you do that, you actually open your own pain too. You can't put yourself in the shoes of Our Lady, you know, receiving the body of your son, her son, without thinking about somebody in your life who died, maybe you cared about. I remember when I went to and buried the body of my brother after the genocide, because they put him right on the road, and I had to go, they put just some grass over him. And to remove him, it was a pain I have lived with for the past 27 years. Every seven throws I do, my pain is a little bit less. It heals, because I had to remember that. Every April in Rwanda, people, the government still go to unbury people they put in some holes to bury them properly. People will go crazy. But I feel like the pain, when I think about the story of a lady, each one of them, it takes me back to every moment that have wounded me. It is a healing prayer. Yeah. I always say, Seven Sorrows Rosary is like a spiritual therapy. Because people, especially of this time, they go through a lot of pain. And the worst thing, people are confused about their pain. Because the wrong has become right in the eyes of people, not in the eyes of God. The right has become wrong. I have met some people sometimes who cut themselves. And the parents brought me these children, talk to them, maybe we don't know what is going on. Now, we never forget one girl who told me, we were both of us, I'm like, just tell me, take me to your mind, what's going on? She's like, at least these people can see. I don't understand my pain. And I spoke to her about the Seven Sorrows Rosary. She's like, pray it and open your heart slowly. Think about what I already felt when she lost her child for 2 days. Try to compare it with some event in your life. So these are the things that heal. That is what therapy does. Therapy asks people, what did you feel? And then what happened? What did you feel? Until people heal by just expressing the feelings they had. So the Seven Sorrows Rosary, Our Lady said, pray it every day. If you can't every day, pray it Tuesdays and Fridays. And she gets exactly how to pray it. I have booklets on my website, immaculate.com. I have a rosary also I get from Rwanda, the Seven Sorrows, how Our Lady said how to pray it. Even if, again, she said it existed before, but anytime I pray it, which I do every day, there's such a relief, like, oh, I feel good. And sometimes I'm crying, thinking about the pain of Our Lady, but why does it feel like I feel a relief anytime I pray it? It's really a gift for the world.
Well, Immaculate, I want to thank you for all you've done to promote the Beads of the Seven Sorrows, and especially for promoting Our Lady of Kibeho. That's an apparition that was perhaps one of the most predictive, the most accurate in terms of its modern prophecy. If those prophecies came true in grisly detail. But also the message of good and love and mercy and forgiveness that you often champion. For those who are listening that have real trouble forgiving somebody who has raped them, abused them, stolen from them, falsified allegations against them, I mean, there's so much hurt, anger, and animosity people hold in their heart, so much unforgiveness. What message would you give to them? What advice could you give to them to help them find freedom like you did?
Yes. Oh, thank you. So first, I will really just tell them, please pray. Our Lady used to tell us in Kibeho, one of the many messages, I mean, among many that are so good we keep remembering, pray with sincerity. Pray without hypocrisy. Especially, she will say, pray with sincerity. Pray from your heart. So mean the things you say. When I found forgiveness towards the killers of my family, it came from the rosary. I would pray the rosary, and anytime I'm praying it, it felt like I was gaining peace as if somebody was giving it to me. But I remember starting to have a hard time praying Our Lord's Prayer. Anytime I would say, forgive us as we forgive, I'm like, no, I can't, because I didn't mean it. But why did I even have to think about that? It's because Our Lady told us, pray with sincerity. Don't lie to God. God is right there. He's listening to you. He can read your heart. So I remember through that sincerity, one time I had to skip that part of the prayer because I couldn't say it and mean it. And because I know God Almighty can hear me in my heart. So I skipped it. That was one step. The next step was all of a sudden I realized that, wait, this is the words our Lord gave himself. Who am I to change his words? Because my God doesn't make a mistake. And I need to believe everything to be able to believe that I can ask him to protect me and I can trust he will protect me. So I remember putting back the prayer and I said to ask God, help me to forgive. And that was the best place and the best prayer maybe I have said. So I will ask people, because through that asking God now, please help me to forgive, I put back the prayer. And with that, it took a little time, and that's when I remember the clarity came. When I was praying on the Sorrowful Mysteries of the traditional rosary, and when I go to the fifth sorrow, when Jesus is dying on the cross. Mm-hmm. Like Our Lady used to tell us, make things real. When you pray the rosary, don't just say the words. Think of what you're saying. I remember going through that and seeing him on the cross, and his mother is there. I'm like, oh, this is bad. I know I'm still hiding, but his mother is watching him die. This is bad. The more I felt for them, the more I felt like my pain was less. Until he said, forgive them, Father. They don't know what they do. When he said that, even if I knew those words, it was as if he handed me the answer. They don't get it. People are trying to kill you. They don't even understand the consequences that will come to them. You trying to be like them to revenge, which was my plan, it only add up to the number of madness. When I saw that, it was like a huge luggage was lifted from my shoulders, and I felt free. You're right. How can somebody kill a child and know what they do? It was then I remembered the words of our Lord in the Bible. Pray for those who hate you, who persecute you. Why? Because when you pray for people, it's possible to change, to see the truth. Like I saw my truth. I wanted to be a soldier just to revenge my family. But through prayer, I was able to change and completely the whole life changed. The goal of life changed completely. And that's what I just wish to tell people. If you can't forgive now, it's okay. It is the truth. It's what you're living. That is the experience. However, don't remain there. Ask God to help you. Because God can do all things. If he says, knock, the door would open. Ask shall be given. What then leaves out? So let's ask him to give us strength too, to change our ways, our bad attitude and habits into good. And he can do that because he's God. All we need when it comes to forgiveness is the humility to know that God wants us to forgive. But I can't do it. I don't know how. Then let's ask him, help us. If you are in any unforgiveness, like I said, I can't blame you because I was there. I know the energy that it takes when you're angry. But I also can tell you there's nothing you cannot forgive with God. You cannot forgive. Amen. You can forgive anything with God, with prayer.
Well, Immaculate, thank you both for your witness, your message, and for your time. I know it's very late there in Rwanda today. Please remember us in your prayers when you go back to Gibeho. Tell Father Leszek I said hello. And count on our prayers for you, too, okay? We'll catch up soon when you return to the States. I look forward to talking with you again.
And all the pilgrims, they're listening to you. They love you. They're very happy. They say to say hi.
Well, give him my warmest regards. And again, your website, before we go, if people want more information on Gibeho or the Beads of the Seven Sorrows or your story, what's the best way to connect?
Yes, you can go to my website, immaculate.com. My first name, immaculate.com.
Sounds wonderful. Hey, Immaculate, thank you. God bless you. Thanks for being here.
Oh, God bless you too. Thank you.
The Immaculate Ilabagiza. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester. So good to be with you today. Thanks for joining me. And I'd ask for your prayers, too. Maggie and I were just talking about some of our colleagues here during the break who are going through a difficult time So I'd ask you to pray for everyone here at Relevant, but I got a special intention for Wednesday. And if you could keep it in your prayers, I'd appreciate it. I value your prayers. You know, so often people ask for prayer and somebody says, oh, yeah, I'll pray for you. Do you really pray for that person? Do you really? I hope you do. I mean, I do. I take it very seriously. I didn't mean to talk about this, but I'll just give you a quick story. I have a friend who was an exorcist and who is an exorcist. He told me about the story of a priest who was living in a new priest, a newly ordained type of guy. He'd only been there for a year or two. And the old pastor who, you know, he died and he took over this guy's room. And he was like only the only one in this rectory now, right? And the problem with it, remember what it was like 20, 30, 50 years ago, perhaps? I mean, rectories were overflowing with priests and there were seminarians and those communities were so vibrant. Today, you know, priests handle three and four parishes. You know, it's kind of crazy how much one priest has to do. Well, this guy was in this place by himself. In the middle of the night, he would hear drawers opening. He'd hear footsteps outside his door. He'd see, he says, even shadowy figures. Now, he's a Catholic priest, right? So he spoke to my buddy about this, and the priest says, look, you need to go ahead and to have masses offered and do them in that room. So he did. He had a series of masses prayed in the room. And towards the end of this litany of masses, he was emptying a drawer, an old box. I forget exactly what it was, but he discovered some unsaid masses that this priest, I guess the church had taken a stipend for, but they were never said for the deceased. So then he offered masses for them. And when that was over, I guess the soul or that spirit was then at rest. You know, I think it was a purgatorial spirit. It could have been that priest who ended up, you know, fulfilling what that priest failed to do. And maybe that's why he couldn't be at peace. You know, those masses had to be said. So it's the power of prayer. If you make a promise to pray for somebody, please do. I'm asking for your prayers, even if you say a Hail Mary or an Our Father, or I appreciate a chaplet. If you could say a chaplet for me, I'd be stoked, or a rosary, or remember me. I got a special intention this week. I'd love your prayers for us. So if you could help me, it'd be great. All right. Yeah, I want to introduce you to another prayer too. Today we've been talking a little bit about Kibeho, Rwanda. It's a tiny landlocked country in Africa. And when I was a documentary filmmaker, I had the privilege of traveling to this country. I was a young guy, and I got to track the Black Mountain gorillas in Rwanda. It was an incredible experience. Went through the jungles. But the most amazing thing was to be present where the Virgin Mary had appeared. I mean, she was truly present. I was there with Mariologists and physicians, and it was an incredible event. And in Rwanda, of course, the Virgin warned of, you know, a bloody future, and she warned of strange new diseases, and she warned of the return of Christ. Not warned, but, you know, talked about these things. These kids had mystical visions. But one of the things she did, she talked about the threat of purity in our culture today. And I know it's a challenge for a lot of people. I mean, we have to have both purity in our mind, purity in our heart, and especially purity in our body. And I think today with pornography and with the bar really being lowered when it comes to sexual ethics, we need to have purity. And the Virgin talked about how important that was. She gave the kids in Kibeho, Rwanda, a prayer. It's called the Prayer of the Seven Sorrows. Now, this is an ancient prayer. And I want to get you plugged into it because you might pray the chaplet with me every day. You might pray the Rosary with Father Rocky at night, right? You might pray those prayers on your own. The beads of the seven sorrows, the rosary of the seven sorrows, as it's called, is an ancient prayer. And it dates back to the Middle Ages. And it's been revived once again through the church-approved apparitions in Kibeho, Rwanda. But there are a lot of promises associated with this prayer. And as you get into Advent, if you're praying for something special, in fact, yesterday, and I got to say, I didn't do it. I wanted to do it. On the anniversary of the apparitions in Kibeho, Rwanda, I said to my wife, let's pray the beads of the seven sorrows. Let's pray the beads of the seven sorrows. You just heard Immaculée Ilibagiza on, New York Times bestselling author of the book Left to Tell, Rwandan Genocide Survivor. During her visitations in Kibeho, the Virgin, and Immaculée is really, she champions this prayer. She gets everybody plugged into it. During the visions of Our Lady in Kibeho, she revealed that the Rosary of the Seven Sorrows, here's what the Virgin said. This is what Our Lady said. She says it possesses immense spiritual power for those who pray it sincerely. And she, in fact, she promised that when you pray this with an open and a repentant heart, the rosary will win you the Lord's forgiveness for your sins. It'll free your soul from guilt and from remorse. Maybe you had an abortion that you really regret and you just cannot get free from the guilt or the remorse. Maybe you cheated on your spouse and you just can't get free from the guilt and from the remorse. Maybe you did something else that you really wish you could undo. If you pray this with a repentant and an open heart, it's one of the great promises. She promised that over time that this prayer, the prayer of the seven sorrows, would develop within you a deep understanding of why you sin. And that knowledge would give you the wisdom, the strength to change, to remove those internal flaws, those weakness of character, those personality faults that cause you unhappiness, that keep you from enjoying the joyful life of that God intended you to live. So I look at this prayer. I think the rosary is such a powerhouse weapon. I think and Padre Pio called it that, right? He called it a weapon. I think the chaplet is such a gift for our time. I think the beads of the seven sorrows are something that heaven has given us across the centuries and has fallen into disuse and yet resurrected in our own day. So if you need to change your life for the better, you're battling addiction, you're battling impurity, you're battling infidelity, you're battling gossip, you're battling some other vice, you want to obtain peace and happiness, you want to realize your full potential, you want to fulfill your dreams, you want to grow closer to God's light, then pray the beads of the seven sorrows. I'm telling you, it is a great prayer. It is a great prayer. The rosary is a special gift from Our Lady. And she taught this to one of the seers in Africa. Her name was Marie-Claire Mukangango. And she told her how to pray it. And she said it would be the girl's mission in life to reintroduce this to the world. You notice that word, reintroduce? I love that. Reintroduce it to the world, because it was given to St. Bridget. And it fell into disuse. Now, the Rosary of the Seven Sorrows, if you're not familiar with it, I'll give you a quick thumbnail, quick snapshot of it, just so you know. You can do a search online. You can find this stuff. I know Immaculate Site probably has it. The beads of the Seven Sorrow consist of seven groups of seven beads, right? And with three additional beads and a crucifix. So the seven groups, you pray seven Hail Marys, and you pray in remembrance of the seven sorrows of Our Lady. Do you know what the seven sorrows of Our Lady are? Hey, come on. Take a guess. What are the seven sorrows? Can you go through them? The first is the prophecy of Simeon. Remember when he said a sword will pierce her heart? And then her second sorrow was when Herod decided to slaughter all those innocent children because he was fearful for his kingdom and his reign. And they had to flee into Egypt. The flight into Egypt is the second. And then I can only imagine the pain, the sorrow, and even the anxiety and fear that one would feel losing a child. The third sorrow is the loss of the child Jesus in the temple. She thought he was with Joseph. Joseph thought it was in her caravan. And yet Jesus, you know, was there with the temple authorities and the scribes preaching and teaching and listening. The fourth sorrow. And this is one I often meditate on when I do my Stations of the Cross. This is a powerful one. Here the Virgin Mary raises a beautiful child. She loves him. She sees him do nothing but good. She knows he's the Son of God. She knows he came in a supernatural way, you know. And she meets her son now beaten and bloodied and scourged on his way to hang on a cross. The fourth sorrow is Mary meeting Jesus on his way to Calvary. And I can only imagine that, knowing her son's going to die. She knew what Roman crucifixion was all about. She knew how horrible, painful death that would be and how that must have tore her up, you know. It's her fourth sorrow. Meditate on that sometimes. It's just the pain of a mother. Imagine your own child. And then reverse it. Imagine, you know, as a child, the pain that your mother's in. The crucifixion, of course, watching your son writhe in agony, nailed to a cross. That was her fifth sorrow. The sixth, she receives the body of Jesus from the cross. And I think of all those who have lost their lives in Waukesha and so many other places. It goes against the natural order for a parent to lose a child. Death is often filled with a bitter sting. It's often hard. For those who mourn, you know the pain. The seventh sorrow, Jesus' body is placed in the tomb. And then they add three Hail Marys are added in remembrance of the tears Our Lady shed because of the suffering of her son, and they're said to obtain true sorrow for sins. But at Cabello, the Blessed Mother urged Nathalie Mozambaka, to read the classic mystical book, Imitation of Christ by Thomas Kempis, saying that she should open to a random page and plant the first words deeply in her heart. And of course, you know, Mary told her that she was here to convert hearts, to bring them back to Christ, to encourage people to pray the rosary, because it's one of the most important tools of prayer and conversion that we have to fight evil and to receive God's grace. And of course, you know, the rosary, the beads of the seven sorrows, the chaplet, that's what Immaculate prayed when she was locked in that little closet. It's powerful. It is a powerful prayer. Marie-Claire Mukongango, she discovered that this is not just a new prayer, but it was used by Christians for hundreds of years, and somehow it became lost in history until the Virgin Mary at one point said, pray this prayer. It contains all the power you need to change your life for the better, to obtain peace and happiness, to realize your true potential, to fulfill your dreams, to grow closer to God. And I know those who've prayed it. If you prayed it, feel free to call me. Share with me the power of this prayer if you've encountered it. The Rosary of the Blessed Mother emphasizes not just for Catholics, too. And I know I have a lot of non-Catholics that listen to the program. I'm so glad to have you because I think we have a lot in common. We can certainly look at life through the eyes of morality and through, I happen to look at it through my Catholic faith. But what I talk about is not just for Catholics. It's for people of all faiths. And that's what the Virgin said. What she's asking everyone to do is to repent. She says, if you pray the seven sorrows, if you meditate on them, you're going to find the strength you need to repent of your sins and convert your heart. And you might be so sick of going back and confessing that same sin over and over again. You might be so sick of falling into the trap of sin. This is a prayer that will fortify you, okay? And the key to prayer, and I'll give you a little secret, and I'll take a quick break here. The key to prayer, and I learned this 30 years ago, maybe even longer, is prayer from the heart. I mean, that really is. I mean, there's two elements, I think, to prayer that really bring about miracles, that unleash the power of your prayer. One, of course, is the trust that you need, that Christ talks about, faith and trust. I mean, that's so key to miracles. If you don't have that, nothing's going to happen. You need to have faith. You need to have trust, right? The second thing is prayer from the heart. I don't care how many rosaries you say, if they're empty, if they're mindless, they mean nothing to me. You know, empty prayers, what value do they have? You know, prayer has to come from the heart. And that's what the Virgin said in Africa. She says, your prayers have no meaning if they do not come from the depths of your heart. You can't open your heart to the Lord without humility. So here's the thing. When I was in other places around the world, I was in Akita, Japan. I was in Medjugorje. I was in South America, in Batania, a lot of different places. This is a common denominator. When you pray, don't pray with empty words, but pray deep from within your soul. Ask God to pray. And I'll share a quick story with you. I remember one time what's it mean to pray from the heart, right? What's it mean? How do you explain that? If I said to you, pray from your heart, what are you going to do? How do you do that? So I was 20 some years old. I was young. And I was kind of tormented over this message from Our Lady to pray from the heart. And I said, I want to pray from the heart. I want to have that power in my prayer. How do I do it? So what I did, I figured the best way to learn how to pray from the heart is to ask God to show me how to pray from the heart. So I began this prayer, and I began to pray every day, Lord, please help me unleash the power of my prayer. Help me to know how to open my soul, to pray from my spiritual heart. Help me to do this that Our Lady asked us for. And I'd pray this prayer over and over again. Because, you know, it's easy to say a rosary. It's easy to say mindless prayers. You're disconnected. And I was down in South America. I was with a film crew. I was interviewing a great mystic down there named Maria Esperanza. And we were outside. She had this beautiful hill on the mountainsides of Caracas overlooking the city below. And we were running into issues. I was trying to interview her and get something, a specific point out that I needed for this documentary. It just wasn't coming. So I called time out for the team. I said, look, let's take 10. And this woman was so respected by her local bishop, she was allowed to have the Blessed Sacrament in her home. So I decided, I took my mic off. She was sitting there. The film crew was changing batteries and tape, and everybody took a break. And I went into her chapel, and I knelt down, and I prayed. And I just asked God to help me with this project, and I opened my heart to God. I remember just really praying before the Blessed Sacrament in her chapel. And we came back out, mic'd back everybody up. Okay, camera calls action. We're now recording. And Maria Esperanza, this mystic who could read souls and who could bilocate and levitate and had the stigmata, prophesied the future and a whole lot of other things, she asked us to stop. And I'm thinking in my head, what now? Right? And she looks to me. She says, Drew, and I didn't realize this, but I was in there praying. She must have walked by the chapel. She says, God has heard your prayers. I'm thinking, what? She says, your prayers are like sweet notes of music floating before the throne of God. And she says, God has heard your prayers from the heart. And it hit me like a hammer. I was like, oh my gosh, I've been praying so intensely to learn how to pray. What a beautiful way to describe prayer as a music floating before the throne of God. Sweet notes of prayer floating before the Blessed Trinity. I mean, it was incredible. So from that moment forward, I realized what it took to pray from the heart. And I really felt that was the key to this. The Virgin, in a lot of places, have called for this. Kibeho, Rwanda, in particularly. Which is, that's one of the keys. If you don't pray from the heart, then your prayers are empty. So I'll tell you what, I'm going to take a break here. When we come back, we can talk a little bit more. I do encourage you to learn more about the Beads of the Seven Sorrows. Tonight at 7 Central, Father Rocky will pray a prayer that across the centuries has been prayed, and the fruit of it has been just off the charts. We've seen conversion. We've seen healing. We've seen atheistic communism defeated. The rosary, such a powerful gift from heaven. Padre Pio, the great mystic and priest, called it his weapon. I carry that in my left hand. My right hand, in the 1930s, Jesus himself appears to a nun in Poland, gives her a prayer called the chaplet. It's a beautifully powerful prayer, offering to God the body, the blood, the soul, the divinity of his son. And it has worked astonishing miracles. It's a powerful prayer for today, but also a third prayer, one lost and forgotten to time, yet once resurrected, is this prayer of the Beads of the Seven Sorrows. I'm telling you, these three are beautiful weapons that we have. These are powerful prayers that move the heart of God. Look into all three of them, all right? And if you have trouble praying, ask God to help you. Pray from the heart.
Your virtual parish. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That's a great bumper. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Maggie. Hey, thank you for being with me, too. It's good to be with you. I swear, I wish I could hang out with you all day. It's just great being able to share with you and talk with you. I'll take a few of your calls if you want to join us. It's 888-914-9149. I do want to talk a little bit also about forgiveness today, but I'll take a couple of your calls. Let me go to Chicago, where I've got Oscar calling in. Oscar, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Drew. Listen, this is beautiful. I love Our Lady of Kibeho. It's just amazing. I just want to let everybody know, like, you don't have to go right now to Kibeho. We have a statue of Our Lady of Kibeho right there at St. Stanislaus of Kluska, right off Division. Father Anthony blessed the statue yesterday. We sent the statue over there of Divine Mercy from Chicago, from the parish, and that's a big statue, 20 feet, there in Rwanda. And we blessed it yesterday, a big statue by Lady of Rwanda, Lady of Kibeho, there at St. Stanislaus of Kluska, right off Division. So people want to come.
Let me ask you a quick question here. I don't mean to step on you, but I remember years ago, I had spoken at St. Stanislaus Kluska, beautiful parish. I think it has the largest Eucharist monstrance in the entire nation, maybe the world for that matter. It's just monstrous. If you ever want to stop into this parish and see this, I mean, it's literally breathtaking. Whenever I'm in the city of Chicago, I stop in there and I pray. I gave a talk there on Kibeho, Rwanda, probably 10 years ago. Maybe it was even longer than that. Immaculate Ilabagiza was there as well. And she spoke about her encounter. And it was so weird because, you know, I think saints brush up against one another. I had the opportunity to meet Father Ubald there for the very first time. I had interviewed Immaculate a little bit earlier in the show today, and she told me, I remember that day, Drew. I was talking to her off air. She said there were many healings. Many people were healed that day. But I'm curious because, you know, not only is the image of Our Lady of Kibeho there, and if you can stop in and maybe say a prayer before the Lord and the Blessed Sacrament or see Our Lady statue. I had heard a story one time, and you might be able to answer this for me. And I think it came from either Father Kaz or Father Leszek, who is he's the priest in charge of Rwanda. There was a giant statue of Divine Mercy that was created. If I'm correct, are you the man that had donated that statue? Are you the person?
I like to be anonymous, but yes, I am, Drew.
Okay, so yes, let me ask you about this then, because I had heard a story that statue was going to be in Chicago, which I thought would be great. I always remember when I drive in Chicago, I'd see this giant image of Divine Mercy. I love seeing them wherever I am. Whenever I see them, I love them. But there was a giant statue that was made. It was shipped to Africa, and I had heard that for a long time in Africa, and fill in the details of the story if I'm wrong on this. They had a geologist that came out, and he was trying to dig for water because people had to walk 5 miles. The women of Kibeho had to walk 5 miles to fill jugs of water and to bring it back. And they had all these experts come in, and people said, no, there's no water here. I'm sorry. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do. And then the Divine Mercy statue, the image of Jesus in the Divine Mercy, was placed there in Kibeho. And when it was erected, this other geologist came in and fill me in on the details, but they found water at the very base of the statue of Divine Mercy.
Correct.
So
yeah,
even though all these geologists were
correct.
Wrong,
yeah.
Jesus and his mercy allowed a spring of water to flow.
That's right. That's exactly right, Drew, because, you know, we were worried because we wanted to build something around it, and we needed water. And these women in the village had to go, as you said, 5 miles. So Father Leszek said, well, let's dig one more time where the statue is. And he prayed really, really hard. He prayed the Divine Mercy Chaplet. They prayed the Seven Sorrows. And they finally struck water, and everybody couldn't believe it. It was like a miracle. But yes, that's a true story.
I just love it. I remember, I think it was Leszek who was telling me, Father Leszek, he says, this guy was on a plane, and he's like, you know, you look down, he says, no, there's going to be water there. It's amazing. That's awesome. Well, okay, St. Stanislaus Kostka, if you are in this Illinois area, Chicago area, I'm telling you, the largest, I think it's monstrance. I don't know.
It never closes, Drew. It's open 24 hours, 7 days a week. So it's the largest monstrance in the world, Our Lady of the Sign Ark of Mercy. And so just come down. And then, as I said, we have Our Lady Cabejo right there. I was blessed yesterday by Father Anthony. So is there a big statue? I mean, you can put it on your Facebook. You can see a picture of it. It's on our Facebook page. So come on over and check it out and pray the Seven Sorrows there.
The other thing, too, just as a side note, since I have you on the air, Father Serafin Mikalenko, who was the vice postulator for the cause of St. Faustina's beatification and canonization, I believe he is going to be a future saint. I pray to him just about every day. He was a friend, and I was so impressed by his virtue. He was the man, if my memory serves me right, that helped to construct the Ark of the Ark of Mercy? What's the name of it?
Our Lady of the Sign Ark of Mercy. Yeah, because Father, he had a vision. He's like, you know what? This is what we need to do. It's Revelation 12, Drew. If you go to that, if you go to this church, you'll see it's Revelation 12. And you'll see the moon at her feet, the 12 stars. And Father Serafin said, you know, this is what we need, Revelation 12. He was very strong about that. Living in these times, he said, we really need to pray to Our Lady. And so you could see it. You know, you could see it's the biggest monstrance in the world. So, and again, that's why we're open 24 hours. It never closes, Drew. The only time it closes up is when there's Mass. So,
I prayed before monstrances all over the world. I was in Mexico and I saw a really beautiful one down there. It probably ranks in my top three, but I'll tell you, the number one monstrance I've ever prayed before is this one at St. Stanislaus Kostka. People pilgrimage all over the world to see statues. You know, you can go to where Christ the Redeemer is in Rio. You know, you can go all over the world to pray at places. I'm telling you, right there in the city of Chicago, St. Stanislaus Kostka, if you really want to pray before a beautiful monstrance and do some Eucharistic adoration, check it out. I'll put it on your radar. Hey, Oscar, thanks for the call in. I appreciate that. I really do. Happy feast day to you, too.
Thank you, buddy. God bless. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, today, we talk about the 28th being the anniversary of Our Lady of Cabejo, a church-approved apparition. I was there in 89 as a young man with a film crew, and I was present for the very last apparition. Imagine being in Fatima for the last apparition. I was in Kibeho, Rwanda for the last apparition, right next to the seer when the Virgin Mary appeared. And it is a place that has helped deepen my own faith. I pray the beads of the Seven Sorrows, not as frequently as I should, but I've really come to love what Our Lady has said here, what she has also predicted for the future. Let me take a few more of your calls. I know we only have a few minutes here, but Therese is listening in New Berlin, Wisconsin. Hi, Therese. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Yes, I'm wondering, is there a rosary made specific for the beads of the Seven Sorrows that is available for purchase?
You know, there certainly is. It's such a great prayer. And, you know, I should recommend these to Relevant for a future pledge drive, because I think they'd be a great gift to give away. I know Immaculee's website, I think it's immaculee.com. She has a website where you can get them. You can go to your religious bookstore, too, and just ask for the Rosary of the Seven Sorrows. It's an ancient prayer, but I bet they would have it, too, or you can look online. It has a, you know, normally the one I have in my car is a little medal on it, then followed by these three Hail Marys, and then they have these decades, you know, of seven beads all the way around, of seven different decades for each of the sorrows. You could pray it, you know, in your hand or your rosary too, but I'd get a decade of the seven. I'd get a rosary of the seven sorrows. It makes it easier to pray. And if you look online, you can find the prayer, or I'm sure Immaculee has it as well, so you can check that out, okay?
Oh, that's wonderful to know. Thank you so very much.
You're welcome. Remember me in one of those seven sorrows, which I got a special intention for Wednesday I'm praying for, and if you can help me with that, that'd be great, okay?
I will do that. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Therese. Appreciate it so much. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful. All right. Annette is listening in Phoenix, Arizona. Annette, good afternoon.
Yes. Good afternoon. I heard about your prayer, you know, if you pray with your heart. And, you know, I have a problem with that, so I understand. And I do have a problem with that. I pray, but I don't feel like I don't know. But the Rosary of the Seven Sorrows, I just heard the lady you were talking to. I'm interested in that, too, because I'd like to get as much hope as I can.
Yeah, I love it. Look, I'm an advocate of all these, all of these different devotions, the Rosary, the Chaplet, the Seven Sorrows. I mean, they're instruments that I think to help us really focus and to meditate and to draw us closer to God. So, but, you know, heaven also indulgences, gives special graces and blessings to these, just like the miraculous medal has special grace, or Saint Benedict. Our Lady has given us many promises regarding the Rosary. Our Lord has given us unbelievable promises regarding the Chaplet. Our Lady in Kibeho, Rwanda, and the Saint Bridget gave great promises regarding the Rosary of the Seven Sorrows. So, you know, you can go online and find the rosary and the prayer. I'm sorry, Maggie, I was talking. Maggie, open your mic and maybe you can share what you were saying to me because I couldn't make it out.
Sure. On Immaculee.com, that's Immaculee.com. Mm-hmm. There is a tab on the menu on the right-hand side that says shop/events. Mm-hmm. And if you go into the shop, they do have a Seven Sorrows rosary for $20.
And I think she gets them from Rwanda. I think she gets them from Rwanda, too.
Okay, so it's Immaculee?
Yeah, it's I-M-M, Immaculee. Help me, Maggie.
I-M-M-A-C-U-L-E-E. As an elephant.
So it's Immaculee. One more time. immaculee.com. But, you know, just do a search online. Go to your Christian bookstore, too, or Catholic bookstore, and just say, I want a bead of the Seven Sorrows. It's a great prayer. Do a little bit of research on it. I mean, I love it. We're so lucky as Catholics, aren't we? I'll just say this personally. This is not a bang on anybody who's not Catholic out there. But the Catholic Church is so rich in what it offers, not only the sacraments, but the sacramentals and these incredible devotions. I mean, to be able to do Eucharistic adoration, to be able to go and meet Jesus truly present in the sacrament of reconciliation. He told St. Faustine he's only hidden by the priest. To have your soul renewed, to be able to receive him truly present in the Blessed Sacrament. To pray prayers given by heaven itself, like the rosary and the chaplet and the beads of the Seven Sorrows. These things work miracles. People testify to them all the time. So, look, if you struggle praying from your heart, I'll tell you what, the Seven Sorrows is great, but just ask the Lord to help you with it. That's what I did, and I reached a level of prayer. You know, it's funny, when you type, and I said this to my wife about prayer, or play guitar, like I have played guitar, piano, or whatever instrument you play, right? When you first start, you know how difficult it is, right? Like, you know how the muscle memory, striking that first chord is really awkward, it's kind of hard, it's hard to transition to it, you know? The same thing happens in prayer. I mean, you need to build your spiritual muscle, I sometimes think. You know, so, you know, just like playing guitar, now you can move from your G to your F to your A minor to whatever you want. Just in piano, it's the same way. You reach a new level. And in the prayer life, I think it's the same way. You might struggle at a certain tier, Try fasting. Call upon God's mercy. Ask him to really help you. You'll break through that next plane, and you'll find yourself achieving a new level of holiness and a new power in your prayer. All right. Keith in San Clemente, California. Keith, good afternoon. It's good to have you with me. Hi, Keith.
True?
Yeah, hey.
Hi. Sorry, the car shut off. And
no problem.
Anyway, thank you for all you do. I really appreciate it. I'm sure everybody does. God bless you and your work.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm sorry, I just came online when you were talking about being at Our Lady's apparition in 89, but I didn't hear you say that you saw the apparition. Did you?
You know,
and what
no,
was she wearing?
I did not. The only person who saw the vision, like in Fatima and like in La Salette and like a lot of these other places, was on that day, Alphonsine Mumariki, the principal seer there. There was one incident, and maybe I'll share this tomorrow. I was in Batania, Venezuela, where the Virgin Mary has appeared to the masses. Hundreds, in fact, thousands of people have seen her, just like in Zaytun in 1968 and other places. Maybe I'll share that story with you tomorrow. Keith, thank you for the call. Thank you for listening. I'm out of time for the day. I'll be back again tomorrow. Until then, may God bless you.